Good evening. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respect to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants, past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
We have no apologies or requests for leave of absence this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Change the order of business.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask that Council join up items number 13 and 14 and that each councillor receive 3 minutes to speak and the Mayor up to 4 minutes on this item.
Moved by Councillor Meadick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I also ask that item number 19.3 be open to the public?
You're moving that?
Yes, please.
Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Meadick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Can I seek clarification, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
Can I find out why the office has felt it necessary to be put in the confidential section of the notice paper?
The reason that it was put in confidential was simply that council grants normally are considered similar as the item this evening, reporting on the grants outcome. So that's the only reason. There's no personal details involved in this, so you know, it's quite at council's discretion to deal with it in open council or in closed.
So just, it is the funding support for the Melton Hospital Group.
That's the subject.
Okay, thank you.
Any further comments? Okay. Deputations. Motion put that the. I thought we voted already. No. Moved by Councillor Meadick.
Yes.
And seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose it being moved? All those in favour? I declare it carried.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, just clarification. Does that mean we hear that agenda item just before confidential?
It would now go to the end of officer reports in the open council, so it will become effectively the 9th, I think.
12.9. Deputation. We have a presentation of an art piece this evening by local artist Mr. McGreen. I'll just read a little bit out explanation. During Adult Week celebrations this year, a local artist, Mr. Mick Breen. Mr. Breen, can you put your hand up so everybody knows where you are? Thank you. Offered to donate an art piece to the Melton City Council. Mr. Breen will be in attendance tonight, as he is, at this council meeting to present his art piece to the council. Accompanying Mr. Breen is his partner, Ms. Charmaine Hamilton, a board member of Kirrup Aboriginal Corporation. Mr. Breen is a proud Wiradjuri man. Mick was born and lived on his mother's country in Junee, a small country town in southern central New South Wales. He moved to Melbourne in 2016 and completed certificates in Aboriginal art and culture at Kangan Batman TAFE, where he drew on his culture and life experience as an Aboriginal man. Since that time, Mr. Brain has become an established artist, exhibiting and selling artwork at a number of exhibitions. He has also been commissioned to paint pieces for a number of organisations and has donated many of his paintings for charity auctions and fundraising events. Mr. Brain now resides within the City of Melton and is an active member of Kirrup Upper Regional Corporation. Mick has gifted this painting to Melton City Council on behalf of Kirrup Aboriginal Corporation in appreciation and acknowledgement of their support. The title of the art piece to be donated to Melton City Council is Gugga. In the language of Wurundjeri people, Gugga is the word name for Goanna. Mr. Breen, in paying respect to his ancestors, has created the work that represents his totem from Wurundjeri country in southern New South Wales. This piece uses acrylic paint on a piece of yellow box bark, using the traditional ochre colours and in conventional crosshatch style, a traditional Aboriginal technique used for around 60,000 years to reflect complex Aboriginal society and culture. Mr. Green, you wish to present that now?
Mr. Mayor, Charmaine will take a photo. Go on, Charmaine. Can we all jump?
Good evening, everybody. It's a bit of a privilege here tonight for me to donate this piece of artwork on behalf of the Kirrup Aboriginal Organisation and the Aboriginal Community of Melton, which I'm now part of because I historically it's culture. You know, people hear the word culture and they have their own, you know, ideas about what culture is. Well, really Aboriginal people, as everybody knows, been here for years and years and years. Culture really stems from where you lived and who your tribe were and what part of the country you resided at. Whether it was hot or cold, what food was available, whether there was water, and that depended on your culture, on the way you lived. And then derived from that was your language, and then came dance, music, and painting. And I'll try to put together here tonight a piece that's, that looks, you know, off the canvas, on a bit of artwork, that's back in traditional way, you know, with a traditional process style, using traditional process. It was like culture, and we've got to carry it on, because if we lose it, it's lost, we're hard to bring back. So, thanks again for accepting the piece, and it's just in recognition of, of course I've painted it as recognition on behalf of Kira to the council for the efforts they put in for the NAIDOC and the other events that took place. Yeah. So thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you, Mick. Item number 5, declaration of any interest, any pecuniary interest or other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I would have a conflict of interest. The Local Government Act 1989, section 77A-81, in relation to notice of motion 574.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich.
You're welcome.
Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council... Oh, sorry, am I allowed to... Yeah, sorry.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the minutes of the... Now, I've lost my spot. What date was it?
6.
Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes.
That the minute, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 20th of August 2018 and the special meeting of council held on the 10th of September 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item number 7, record of Assembly of Councillors.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 20th, 27th of August 2018 and the 3rd and 10th of September 2018 attached this agenda be received and noted. However, Mr. Mayor, there is just a small change. On the 20th of August, it actually has missed out Councillor Michelle Mendez. I believe she was an apology with myself included as well. I've been put down as an apology, but Councillor Mendez has not been put down at all. She was missed. Sorry.
I believe she was here.
Oh, well, then she's not on the other list of councillors being present, present either. So
we need to add Councillor Mendez on the present
so
list.
Add her wherever you may. But
thank you. Okay, move with those changes from Councillor May. Like, do you have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Carley, with an addition that Councillor Mendes be added to the present for that night. Any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 8.1, parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor. Letter from the Honourable Richard Wynne, MP, Minister for Planning and Infrastructure, regarding the Infrastructure Contribution Plan. Thank you for your letter dated 11th July 2018 expressing concern over the Infrastructure Contribution Plan, ICP, system is not collecting sufficient money to pay for construction of essential and basic community and recreational infrastructure. The new ICP system is intended to ensure the development makes an appropriate contribution to the provision of the basic and essential infrastructure. The VPA is currently seeking feedback from councils and development industry on the draft benchmarks infrastructure cost estimates, a copy of which is available on the VPA website. I look forward to your council's continued involvement in helping improve the ICP system. Thank you. Item number 9, joint petitions and letters.
Mr. Mayor, if I could I move that the recommendation that the parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Now we'll move on to number 9. Petitions and joint letters.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Right, from the residents of Atherstone, we wish to express our concern regarding the bathroom facilities in Stone Ridge Park on Alabaster Avenue, Cobblebank. Because of the park's convenient location, many neighbourhood children spend hours after school playing on the playground equipment. Many elder residents who take their kids out to the park sometimes have to run back to their homes to use toilets. Sometimes we have seen little kids using grass areas as toilet areas. As the park is surrounded by residential development, it presents a clear danger to public health, to say nothing of the moral pollution it represents. There doesn't seem to be much foresight from council where this matter is a major growth area and the new facility will not suffice. Until something is done, temporary toilets should be placed in a convenient location of the park. We, the undersigned, ask that your office take swift action. We'll be happy to cooperate in any way we can. If I may, Mr. Mayor, I'll present the petition.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Thank you. Item number 10, resumption of debate and other business carried over from a previous meeting.
Mr. Mayor, as I stated earlier, I have a conflict of interest. I have a declaration here.
Mr. Mayor, can I just ask for clarification whether the councillor needs to disclose whether the type of, whether it's a direct, indirect?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I also would like to seek clarification in relation to this indirect conflict of interest. Well, I'd like it noted, Mr. Mayor, that Councillor Kesich, in October's ordinary meeting of council, that's 2017, he actually voted and supported the tender evaluation reports and the award of the contract for the Fraser Rise Pavilion and Sports Field to Melcon Proprietary Limited at the amount of $11,980,000. I'd like that noted, please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
Could I seek clarification, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor.
And seeing the councillors out of the room, it's a little bit unfortunate. Would the conflict of interest may have arisen after that date in the one councillor?
I believe he's, to be honest, I believe his conflict is a recent conflict. It wasn't existing at that time.
I just want it, that's fine, Mr. Mayor. And I just want it known, and it's obviously recorded, that that occurred last October.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. If you notice, motion 574, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move the motion that Council formally rescind the resolution of Council adopted at the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 23rd of July 2018 at item 12.7, response of notice of motion 566, City Business Supports Precinct.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Some clarifications?
Sure.
In regards to this item, is there any way that we could include in the minutes what the actual notice of motion was that Councillor Ramsey is rescinding? So she's asked to formally rescind the resolution, item 12.7, response to notice of motion 566. Could we include the wording of that notice of motion so it's a little bit more clear? And could we also include the division that was called, as well as the that it was carried at that meeting, just so it's a little bit more clear?
Yeah, certainly.
Thank you.
So, moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I do have some more clarifications.
Come on, Mayor, clarifications.
In regards to the outline requirements for a notice of motion to be acted upon, when we're talking about rescinding a notice of motion, it says in the local law that as long as it hasn't been acted upon, we cannot accept the rescission motion if it has been acted upon. Can the officers please explain as to the determination of whether a notice of motion has been acted on, in which case then a rescission cannot be used for the notice of motion?
Okay, I'll attempt to answer that. Whether a motion has been acted upon goes to the specific circumstance of each motion, so it needs to be assessed in the context of the motion itself. In the normal course of events, the protocol of the council in terms of how it actions motions is taken into account also, and in the instance of this motion in particular, the fact that the motion itself was communicated externally other than by either the mayor or the chief executive or persons delegated that authority, brought into question whether or not that was a formal action of the motion by council or not. And on the balance of the available facts around the matter, it was determined that it hadn't formally been acted upon.
Question? Sorry, Mr. Mayor, please bear with me. Would the adoption of council minutes to an ordinary meeting of council, where the resolution to a notice of motion was clear, be grounds to be considered as a motion being acted on if members of the affected group were in the gallery?
Again, it goes to the specific circumstances. If a person who has a there's a specific case around this which I don't want to misquote, and it goes to the awarding of a contract, and where a contract was awarded and the beneficiary of the award of that contract was in the gallery and they were aware of the awarding of that contract. That was, I believe, in that circumstance was held to be communication to the person. However, it was related to the specific circumstances, as I understand it.
So, in that particular case, the minutes to the ordinary meeting of council on the 23rd of July that were formally adopted by council, in fact Councillor Ramsey moved them herself, indicating that the notice of motion for the City Vista Pavilion inclusions were carried by the majority of the councillors. Nowhere in these minutes does it inform anyone, councillors or members of the affected group, that a rescission had been called for. As the affected party, being the George Cross Soccer Club, were in the gallery on the evening, I am told, because I wasn't here, wouldn't that be ground that the notice of motion was acted on, as this would be considered as a statutory procedure as soon as the minutes to the ordinary meeting were adopted by councillors?
The rescission motion was received by myself prior to those minutes being adopted. So therefore, even the adoption of the minutes doesn't remove the fact that there was a rescission motion received by myself prior to that. And it's the time of the receipt of the rescission motion that is the determining factor.
Okay. Council has received some additional briefing notes for the City Vista Sports Precinct. It talked about the project and the additional elements costing around $220,000. It also stated that had the motion been acted on immediately, then the steel required for the roof extension could have been ordered, delivered and erected at the same time. Can officers please explain why this project would now cost more than double the amount?
Well, the reason for the additional cost is that the project has proceeded beyond the stage where the alternate design could be incorporated into the steel framing that's now erected. So the steel had to be ordered and erected, otherwise the contract would have stalled. We would have incurred significant penalties in terms of the contractor's overheads, etc., by the projects being stagnant for a period of time. So the project proceeded in accordance with the existing contract.
And just a final question, Mr. Mayor, and I thank you for your patience. And was the reason why the motion had not been acted upon was because Councillor Ramsey had asked for a rescission?
Yes, that's correct. There was a rescission motion I was in receipt of a rescission motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlich. Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Can I seek some clarification on just what's been discussed? Was the steel for this project ordered prior to it coming to council?
I believe there was an order in place, but I haven't got the details with me of the date of the order, the date of receipt of the order, the date that the ordered steel was manufactured or fabricated.
So in all likelihood, the contract was go before Councillor Madelick moved that.
I haven't got that information.
Funny you should say that, Mr. Tory, because I have. I've got briefing notes for councillors on the City Vista Sports Precinct. Had the motion been acted on immediately, then the steel required for the roof extension could have been ordered, delivered and erected at the same time.
Who's the author of that?
I'm not sure, Councillor Rams, but I'm happy to give you a... because I believe you told me about this, so I'm actually not sure of who the author is. I don't know if it was an email or if it was just given to us in the orange satchel.
Okay.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Yes.
Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Do I get to speak or?
Can I be seconded first, Councillor Ramsey? Even I know that.
Yes, I'll second the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Councillor Ramsey, you wish to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to rehash all of what I said at meeting 2 months ago. I just want to basically state that there was a $10 million contract, or we had committed $10 million. When a body of work went out, it came back at a lot more than $10 million. And so as a council, we added, was it $1.5 million? Now I'm scratching my head. So at the end of the day, we included a whole heap more body infrastructure in that contract. It's well above what we would do for footprint for any other project. It's just the club, which is a great club, we're donating $1 million towards that facility. And I think council had to top up for the function room that they required an additional $1 million or $2 million. They are going to look after the maintenance for the next 20 years, but $11.5 million as a council contribution is more than enough. Than they've been part of the process at every turn. They've been they're part of the panel that has watched the contract happen. They didn't present in the 223 committees. They didn't... or they didn't present in the lead-up to it. There was nothing except they tapped a councillor on the shoulder and said, we would really like this. There are a lot of groups that come up and tap councillors on shoulders and say they would really like this. But to quote my family, when they're suck of the sav, at the end of the day, $11.5 million to this building when there are other clubs out there crying for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Madelick.
Mr. Mayor, this is just a matter of what is fair and just. I believe that at last week's special ordinary meeting of council, an additional $55,000 was included for extension of toilet blocks in Hanawatts Park, moved by Councillor Ramsey. Council officers did not recommend it because of the budget constraints, but councillors funded it anyway. What is the difference in this case? The reason why they didn't come to the 223 committee is because, as my original notice of motion said, that if there's any money saved in the contingency plan, could we put in some of the original projects that were put aside back in? So there was no chance that they could have come to 223 because at that stage we didn't know what money was being saved. Is it because this project is in the Eastern Corridor? Later this evening in tonight's agenda, council is being asked by officers to change a project and bring it forward by 15 to 20 years, costing council $60 million to save council some money in the long run. How is this project any different, apart from the City Vista project being a lot less expensive? Council could have improved the City Vista building for $220,000. It would have provided for seating and 5.5 metres of shelter for a predominantly winter game. Shelter for our residents watching their kids playing soccer. In the end, it's all about the children. Instead, Councillor Ramsey decided to rescind the motion, and because of that, it will now cost us more than double the amount. We had a very short time frame to act and improve the facility, and instead, because of the delay, it will now cost ratepayers more than double the amount. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to foreshadow a notice of motion. Should the rescission be adopted by the majority of councillors, I would like to foreshadow a notice of motion that the seating of the terraced and non-terraced viewing areas along the western side of the main pitch be supplied and installed at the City Vista Sports Precinct for an estimated $50,000, which is $5 less than the toilet blocks that was just approved last week, and delegation be given to the CEO effective immediately, and the roof extension veranda cover be included for consideration at the next council budget discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Mulick. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I spoke at the time of the council meeting on this issue predominantly from the contract law side. Contingency versus variation, they are two separate animals. Contingency is prior to forming of the contract and also procurement. Contingency is post for procurement of difficulties or when there are alterations. This is a major alteration to an engineering position on the roof. It's just not a small exercise to take the steel out and re-engineer, and that's why the procurement position, the contingency fund, was not appropriate modelling to bring forward. Contingency may have covered this, but still it needed to be identified by all those on site, put to the council officers for a review, and also a budget allocation, which was not done. So therefore, we're all talking about something which even has not to date been project allocated, nor has it been costed, nor has there been any drawings allocated. So the reason why I'm standing up here is to alert councillors to contingency versus variation, two different animals, and it must be used according to contract law. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Bushy.
Mr. Mayor, I object to some of the comments made by Councillor Hardy on the fact that he quotes contract law and he's not a lawyer. And he constantly does it, speaks in items that he's not qualified to speak to. So I just want that noted.
You wouldn't be the only one in this council that does that.
Mr. Mayor, the commitment of the George Cross Football Club is absolutely extraordinary. And as you know, they came to the council meeting last month. They almost filled this section here with their children. It means a lot to them. And the club officials had the junior presentation night tonight. I just got a message. They weren't able to attend. They would have been here and they're eagerly awaiting the outcome of this. The club has asked for unanimous support tonight, wanting to see this project go ahead. Together with George Cross Football Club, we are creating a state-of-the-art facility, one of its kind in our great city, possibly the western suburbs of Melbourne. I don't think there's anything like it. We have already found cost savings in relation to this development, and while it may cost us financially to include the veranda and shelter, noting that it was originally part of the design, the benefits of doing this work with excellence will outweigh the cost. And let me tell you why. I believe at the end of the day, the club, along with its state-of-the-art facility, will put Melton on the map and will drive the wider Victorian community to visit our great city to watch excellent soccer, spend money supporting our local businesses, and for the wider community to enjoy state-of-the-art facilities. In really, what, and I think that this addition is vital because, you know, imagine what it's going to be like in a very cold, miserable Melbourne weather when those supporters have to stand out in the rain. And you can imagine if there's an A-League squad coming in to play, and that's going to bring thousands of people, they're all going to spill out into the open. And I don't think that's going to be a good look. We've spent millions of dollars. An additional allocation to put extra shelter in the veranda is really not a lot to ask. I urge councillors to support George Cross Football Club tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Councillor DeSantis.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I just had a little bit of issue hearing with Councillor Bushy's last part of his speech. If I could just hear that, maybe that last 10 seconds worth, if that's okay. Sorry.
I just made comment around the miserable Melbourne cold weather and thousands of people coming from all over Victoria to watch, especially with an A-League Premiership team coming to our municipality, how the crowds are going to spill over out into the open without any shelter, because we've chosen to do everything with excellence and for getting a little bit of shelter and veranda. It's not a lot to ask for such an important project in our municipality.
Councillor DeSantis, do you wish to speak? Councillor Crowley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I won't repeat what my fellow councillors have said, but I agree with Councillor Maidlick and Councillor Ibushi, and I'm so disappointed that a rescission was put in the first place, but we are speaking about shelter and seating for the kids in our community and their families. And to say no to that, Mr. Mayor, is disgusting.
Does any other councillor wish to speak? Yep. Councillor Mendes.
First thing I want to say is I think the comments about Eastern Corridor need to stop, because it's about the whole city of Melton. It's not about one part of Melton. I feel that we do a pretty good job of being fair and reasonable. I stood out in the hot cold 2 weekends in a row to watch Caroline Springs Hockey Club and Melton Hockey Club.
They've got no facility or shelter
down there. They're not going to get it for 10 years. I've already spoken to Mr. Scobel about that in the last week. Now, let me finish, please. McPherson's Park has only just got the upgrade, and that's due to grants that we've received, which we've been very, very lucky to get. That's gone for years without appropriate shelter. And I'm talking years. Toolan Vale and Diggers Rest. Diggers Rest, they've got shelter, but they haven't got enough. They're crying out for more, and they're getting it through funding. It all takes time for every club to get things. We don't get it overnight. Toolan Vale, they don't have any facilities like that. They're forgotten. Every budget, they do not get a single thing. They pay rates too. Secondly, I'm going to go into the point that Hannah Watts is a very big facility. It's under a master plan. It holds big festivals, Jerriwarra, the Carols. It deserves to have the funding. It holds most of the municipality come to watch those events. So I'm really concerned that the people feel in this chamber tonight that we're not giving enough to a club when there are so many clubs in the city of Melton crying out for funding.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Ramsey, do you wish to sum up?
Yes, please. $11.5 million isn't nothing. $11.5 million is a commitment. Yes, they filled the chamber. And yes, they're all wearing T-shirts saying Sunshine George Cross. Thank you very much. My kids never played for them. Did yours?
My son actually played for West Side Strikers.
That's fine.
When they were under George Cross. Councillor
Crowley, please sit down.
Well, Councillor Ramsey...
I just asked
the question. Thank you. 2 months ago, I moved for a reprieve of a month to chat with the club to list their priorities. 4 councillors didn't support me with that. They're very quick to crucify, but 4 councillors went on to railroad because supposedly they had the numbers that month. They moved in, and all I asked for was a delay of 1 month to talk to the club, to sort out their list of priorities and see if we could accommodate. No, that wasn't fair. Yes, there were 3 toilets added to Hannah Watts. And Hannah Watts is a huge regional park for the whole of the city of Melton. When they talk about kids playing soccer and how we're depriving our children, this is for an A-League soccer club. This is for the best of the best. This isn't for the little kids that were in the chamber last month. This is for the big, big boys. Maybe if Councillor Maidlick had moved $50,000 seating and referred it to next year's budget, because it can be added at any time, maybe there would have been more of a unanimous support there. At the end of the day, I really quiz what motivates some of these councillors, because...
Be careful, Councillor Ramsey, because you made comment 2 months ago on that. Be careful what you say, Mr.
Maidlick.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Maidlick is right. Councillor Ramsey is being able to make all these accusations, and she's not being called to order.
Sorry, I thought I...
Councillor Ramsey, let's deal with what we're dealing with, please.
If you go through the recording
just
2 months ago, you'll hear the word motivation from Councillor Maidlick as well. So at the end of the day, all I believe is 2 months ago I was asking for a discussion that was voted down. I believe that we need to look at our budget processes and what we do, because we have a long time to meet, to discuss and to compare apples with apples, and we genuinely give everybody a fair go.
Thank you. Time to vote. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, second by Councillor Hardy. Those in favour of the motion? Those opposing the motion? Thank you.
I'm also going to ask for a division, Mr. Mayor.
Yep, division called. Those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner. Those opposing the motion, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Debussy. And I need to use my cast and vote. I cast in favour of the motion. Move on.
Mr. Mayor, are we going to discuss my foreshadow of notice of motion?
Foreshadow of motion?
Yes.
Would you like to repeat it?
Yes, I would like to. I would like to... now it's not a foreshadow, is it, Mr. Tory? It becomes a notice of motion that the seating of the terraced and non-terraced viewing areas along the western side of the main pitch be supplied and installed at the City Vista Sports Precinct for an estimated $50,000 and delegation to be given to the CEO effective immediately, and the roof extension / veranda cover be included for consideration at the next council budget discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Do I have a second for the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seen by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Can I seek clarification?
You can seek clarification.
Can that be done at any time during the year, that $50,000?
Do you mean physically can it be done? Yes, I'm advised that the seating can be installed at any time.
And
there's no structural issues related to the seating.
And when will City Vista take over? When will City Vista be completed and ready to go?
I believe the completion date is March 2019.
So
next year, March next year.
So in all fairness, we could ask for that to be included in next year's budget.
Well, it will be completed before next year's budget is adopted, the project, and like I said, the seating could be incorporated into it now, or it could be done at a future date. It depends on council direction.
Moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Can I call for a division, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly can. Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Debussy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, and Councillor Turner.
Mr. Mayor, could I just thank my fellow councillors for their unanimous support in this matter? I really appreciate it, and I'm sure the club will too.
Yes, you can, and I will declare the division carried. Yeah, we better bring Councillor Kessage back. He's fallen asleep. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Oops, not today. Got to learn how to drive.
We move on. Item number 11, public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first question this evening is from Mr. O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery. And it reads, further to my email to council, which is attached to the question, I am seeking clarification with respect to proposed commercial developments in Diggers Rest. Diggers Rest is currently experiencing rapid residential development. However, some major commercial developments which have the capacity to sustain long-term employment opportunities seem to have stalled. One application in particular to establish a mixed-use development was submitted to Council in July 2017. What factors are causing such delays, and when does Council anticipate these developments to move forward? And Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, David, for your question. You rightly point out that there is a planned, what's known as an activity centre for the growth area of Diggers Rest, and that will be located just off Vineyard Road. The retail centre is important for Diggers Rest, not only to provide employment opportunities, but also to provide the opportunity for local shopping services to service what is very much a growing area. The owner of that property did indeed submit an application to develop the site last year. That was unfortunately not a fully complete application. We sought further information, which we've now received, and I'm advised that it's likely that a permit will issue for the development of that site over the coming weeks. So hopefully development will commence shortly thereafter. Thank you.
Second question is also from Mr. O'Connor. And it reads, the Victorian Liberal Opposition have stated a policy position that if they are elected to government in November 2018, they will move to have Sunbury secede from Hume City Council. This commitment paints an uncertain future for Diggers Rest, which is part of the state seat of Sunbury and is contained within the expanded Sunbury urban growth boundary. It's well documented that a new municipality for Sunbury would struggle to sustain financial stability given the relatively low rate base and the growing need for urbanised services. What would be the official position of Council in the event that Diggers Rest was required to secede from Melton City Council in order to help sustain a new Sunbury municipality? So, in answering that question, there was indeed a poll of Sunbury residents conducted back in 2013 that returned a 59.96% in favour of the separation of Sunbury from Hume City Council, following which in 2014 the Napthine government announced that Sunbury would be separated from Hume and form a separate municipality. At that time, all inquiries by council indicated that there was no intention for Diggers Rest to form part of the new Sunbury municipality, and the fact that no consultation had occurred with the Diggers Rest residents in the same way as the Sunbury residents, that reinforced the position that it wasn't included in the proposition. The council position at that time was clearly determined and communicated to the government that Diggers Rest should not be included in any future Sunbury municipality, and that council strongly supported the retention of Diggers Rest as part of the Melton municipality. Whilst council hasn't reconsidered the proposition, it remains our position, I believe, and I see no reason why council would take any alternate view than that it still believes Diggers Rest most appropriately forms part of the Melton municipality. So we will see what transpires, I guess, at the election. Next question is from Colin Seabrook in the gallery. So Mr. Seabrook has two questions. First one is, why are public questions recorded in the minutes without the key and most important points? The way the questions are published is a misrepresentation, and the reader would have no idea what the whole point of the question was unless he or she listened to the audio recording of the meeting. Examples: Rolf Schumann's key point in his question on 26th of March was the capacity being 400 plus and was not noted in the minutes. Jane Richards, 25th of June, submitted current photos of very wet conditions and very dusty conditions in Minns Road and reinforcing the rest of her question. How can unmade roads cope with the traffic generated by large facilities such as the proposed mosque? And the photos were not recorded in the minutes. I would like to add, I know coming from a farming background that the dust generated from cars travelling from the north, five return trips daily or even once a day will be horrendous by impacting on grazing pastures, rendering them inedible by the livestock. So Luke Shannon will respond on that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Seabrook, for your question. In relation to the minutes, firstly, of each council meeting, particularly the public question time, the minutes are not intended to be a verbatim record, for example, in this case of questions asked, rather a précis provided of each question, and thus, for that reason, the specific details you refer to in your question aren't necessarily elaborated on within the minutes. Council does, however, retain, as you know, a copy of the question, so we have a full record of what indeed it specifically says. In relation to the second element of your question about dust generated from cars travelling on Harkness Road, that is an issue that council will need to consider in determining the application. The fact is, cars travelling on dirt roads do generate dust. There's no question about that. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. Seabrook is, with respect to the property developers endeavouring to overturn the Aboriginal overlay placed on the land post them purchasing the block, is the true extent of the size of the development now exposed, as the current building and car parks on the plan do not encroach on the Aboriginal overlay? My question is, does this now confirm the property developer's true intent for them to endeavour to remove the overlay to make room for more and bigger buildings, to open the way for a much bigger development into the future, catering for Melbourne, not just Melton? Is this going to be another case of what has happened in Auburn in New South Wales? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you for your question. The particular circumstances around the application for the place of worship have changed somewhat since the permit application was lodged earlier in the year. At the time the application was lodged with council, the site was not within an area of Aboriginal cultural sensitivity, and therefore, under the relevant legislation, a cultural heritage management plan was not required. Subsequent to the application being lodged, the state government, as they do from time to time, review waterways throughout Victoria. And there is, as you know, a waterway that meanders through part of the eastern flank of the site, which is known as the Arnold's Creek West Branch. That became a registered waterway within the definition of the Aboriginal Heritage Regulations, and therefore land within 200 metres of this waterway is now within what's known as an area of cultural heritage sensitivity. Accordingly, for that reason, when VCAT considered this issue earlier this month, they directed that a cultural heritage management plan is in fact required, and such a plan must be obtained and approved by the state government prior to council considering the application for a place of worship. Thank you.
Next question, there's two questions from Mr. Ralph Schumann. Mr. Schumann's in the gallery. So question one, where the recent VCAT order concerning heritage overlay management plan for the planned Melbourne Islamic Centre at 171 to 191 Harkness Road, will council please inform us what this VCAT order means for the overall planning process, and whether, in council's opinion, The WECAD hearing scheduled for 22nd to 26th of October 2018 will still go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Schumann, for your question. I've in part answered your question, however, I'll restate what I've already indicated. The VCAT decision made on the 3rd of September 2018 indicated that a cultural heritage management plan must be obtained, and that approval is obtained through a state government agency known as Aboriginal Victoria. What that effectively means is that the VCAT case, which was scheduled to go over 4 days commencing on the 22nd of October, will not proceed, and Council will subsequently consider the application when and if the applicant successfully obtains a cultural heritage management plan. Thank you.
Part two, or question number two, from Mr. Schumann is, read the planned Melbourne Islamic Centre at 171 to 191 Harkness Road, given A, the actual capacity of 400 plus worshippers of the mosque within the proposed Melbourne Islamic Centre, B, the developer's past history of establishing similar Islamic enclaves, C, the developer's demonstrated eagerness to buy up more land for residential development around the proposed location in Harkness Road, and D, the widespread concerns of the local community about this project. Why are councillors still refusing to act in the best interests of the community and in accordance with Section 60 bracket F close bracket of the Planning and Environment Act, require both a social and economical impact assessment for this project? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you again for your question. In relation to the second element of your question, or the last element regarding social and economic impact assessments, Council has not required such an assessment to be prepared, and in fact is of the view that it's not required under the Planning and Environment Act for an application such as this. I appreciate you have a different view, but that's my view. Notwithstanding this, Council will, however, consider any social and economic issues where relevant as part of its future consideration of the application. You do indicate in there that you're concerned that Council is not acting in the best interests of the community. I'll again point out that Council has not actually made a decision yet whether to support the application or not. Council will make such a decision at a future point in time if and when, as I indicated earlier, a cultural heritage management plan is successfully achieved by the applicant. Thank you.
That concludes public questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shane. Presentation of staff reports.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the following items in block and accept officers' recommendation as per the reports. Items 12.1, 12.2, 12.3 and 12.5.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Does any Councillor second the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.4, draft annual finance statement and performance statement. Mr. Lenore, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Financial statements for year ended 30 June 2018 demonstrated continued discipline.
Mr. Mayor, could I get
a bit more?
Yeah, I can barely hear you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Financial statements for year-end 30 June 2018 demonstrated continued disciplined management of finances by Council. Council generated a modest underlying surplus of $3.2 million when removing gain on disposal of assets, developer contributions and capital grants from the comprehensive result. The result was favourable to budget and forecast. Council holds $142 million in cash and term deposits as at year-end, and has reduced its borrowings by a further $3.4 million in 2017-18. Council has also undertaken approximately $40 million worth of capital works last financial year. Audit Committee on the 29th of August 2018 discussed and reviewed the draft financial statements and performance statements for the year ended 30 June 2018. Audit Committee has recommended that Council approve the statements. Council must not submit the annual financial statements and performance statements to the auditor or the minister unless it has passed a resolution giving its approval in principle to the statements. So, in accordance with Section 133, Section 1 of the Act, Council must submit the statements to the Minister within 3 months after the end of the financial year. It is recommended Council approve, in principle, the draft financial statements and performance statements for 30 June 2018 and authorise the Mayor, Councillor Bob Turner, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Ken Hardy, to approve the statements in their final form pursuant to Section 132 of the Local Government Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lamoro. Do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the notice of motion, but also add an extra dot point or an extension of dot point two, that if any major changes are recommended by the auditor, the matter be again presented to council, to a future council ordinary meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Alternate motion moved with an addition by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item number 12.6. Council Wellbeing Annual Action Plan, End of Year Report. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering if you'd announce my name.
Oh, I can go without you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council are aware that as part of the requirement for the production of its council plan that it must produce an annual action plan on each of the 4 years during the term of the plan. I present this evening the finalisation of the 2017-18 annual action plan. Appendix 1 contained within that provides a detailed outcome of the summary of each of the actions that have been undertaken during this period of time and the completion of those projects. In all the 153 projects that were contained within that action plan, 132 of them have been completed and 21 of them have been found to be outstanding, which have been consolidated into the 2018-19 report. Of those 21 actions outstanding, 19 of them are nearing completion and 2 have certainly commenced but will be completed during the period of this forthcoming year. On page of the second page of the report, there are just some highlights of what have been contained within the year of achievements throughout the actions. Some very, very significant achievements, and we can't list them all, but we've sort of certainly highlighted 12 of those, which are some of our significant construction programs, the adoption of relevant strategies and plans that have been undertaken during this time, and also the implementation of many new programs and projects that have been achieved, including a number of demonstrated advocacy activities that have been ongoing addressing of key infrastructure, education, transport, and of course, one very topical one at the moment, health issues being the Build Melton Hospital campaign. In production of this report, Mr. Mayor, there's been no consultation required. However, extensive consultation has been undertaken and incorporated in the, I guess, the development and endorsement of the original council plan, and the action plan that sort of forms thereafter is a true reflection of the community consultation. With that stated, Mr. Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation set out on page 1 of this particular report, and that is the Council receive and note the 2017-18 Council and Wellbeing Action Plan as detailed in Appendix 1. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council require any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Could I move this notice of motion and also commend the officers that have implemented this plan so successfully, and also the community that helps implement get the plan together in the first place. So well done to the community and also the council officers.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. Any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item 12.7, consideration of draft Melbourne Airport Master Plan 2018. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Under federal government legislation, the operators of the Melbourne Airport, the Melbourne Airport Corporation, are required to submit on a 5-yearly basis a master plan for the operation of the airport. And we're in the continuous cycle of 5-year reviews, and we're currently going through, or the airport is currently presenting for public exhibition, a draft master plan for 2018, which in essence sets the vision for the airport, the operation of the airport for the next 20 years. The projections over the next 20 years are quite staggering in terms of growth in the operations of the airport, as detailed on page 194 of the report. But the intention is that there will be a move from the current 239,000 annual aircraft movements to nearly 400,000 aircraft movements per annum, an increase of 35 million passengers per annum to more than 67 million passengers per annum, and a significant increase in freight movement out of the airport. So you can see through that, Mr. Mayor, there's significant plans to continue to grow the Melbourne Airport. One of the issues which has been detailed in previous master plans and continues to be in the current master plan is the intent to construct a third runway. Currently the airport has two key runways, and it's proposed to construct a third runway which will run east-west, with the intention of constructing that by around about 2023 to continue to grow the capacity of the airport to manage the number of air movements that I've mentioned. The master plan addresses a range of issues which are summarised on page 194 through to 196. They cover a range of issues including the airport land use plan, so the plan for the actual airport itself, also other issues such as transport, environmental strategies, and importantly the safeguarding of the airport. Council will be aware that the airport currently has a 24-hour curfew-free operation capacity, which puts it at significant advantage over the Sydney Airport. So it's, and that's something that this council has historically supported, given the importance of the airport to our municipality. We have some 1,400 of our residents who work there, and it's important for the prosperity of the state. The under that issue of safeguarding, if I can refer councillors to the plan at Appendix 1, a very difficult plan to read, I appreciate, that's taken straight out of the master plan. It is intended there would be ultimately some minor adjustments to what's known as the Airport Environs Overlay, which does have some impact on residential growth opportunities in our municipality, particularly on the southern edge of Diggers Rest and north of Hillside. It won't, in my assessment, Mr. Mayor, have any specific adverse impact on our residents. In the event that overlay is to change in the planning scheme, that will require a future planning scheme amendment, which would be specifically considered by Council at some point into the future. So accordingly, Mr. Mayor, in summary, the draft master plan is considered to be appropriate. It doesn't have an adverse impact on our municipality. It provides certainty for the operations of the airport, and it's recommended that Council support it, noting that there may be some changes to the planning scheme which we would need to review at some point in the future if they do arise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon. Does any Council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like just to ask about this map that we have. How accurate is this map, and who supplied actually this map to Council? Terribly sorry. Is there a map of flights or return of landing or taking off? Page 200.
Through Mr. Mayor, within the master plan there's a whole series of maps, and only one's been reproduced at this point, so it doesn't specifically indicate the location of flight paths. That is shown on another map within the document, which shows a much more elaborate detailed plan. The lines on this plan are in essence those key noise affected areas, if I could describe them as that, where there's likely to be a greater propensity for noise as the planes are either landing or taking off. The lines have been drawn based on analysis over a 12-month cycle, so they're very detailed, and they've been prepared by the Melbourne Airport Corporation as part of this document. So there's a degree of accuracy, but I should give a note of caution that it doesn't mean that if you're outside of where one of these lines are that you won't all of a sudden not hear an aeroplane. It just gives an indication that once you're within those lines, the propensity for prolonged noise is higher, but still not unreasonable.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, with just a tiny comment that I live in Caroline Springs and I can see above my house about every 3 to 5 minutes plane taking off and going in some direction, probably towards South Australia. So that's why I was purpose is this map actually a mirror map. Perhaps the bottom parts should be mirrored in the Caroline Springs. It's only my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich. Does any other councillor require some clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Through you to Mr. Shannon, if I could. On page 194, after the dot points, it's 1, 2, 3 paragraph down. I'm just wondering whether we can add a sixth dot point, which basically says that Melbourne Airport has a competitive edge over other airports through its 24-hour curfew. Free status, Melbourne Airport and the state government will continue to plan to ensure that the airport retains its curfew free status, since the Melbourne Airport is a major contributor to the economy of Victoria. Now, my thinking was under dot point 6, and I haven't discussed it with my fellow councillors, is the council what?
Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, what page are you on?
194. Okay. That council just support the fact that Melbourne Airport is a 24-hour curfew-free, has a 24-hour curfew-free status, and we want to make sure that that can, I'm not too sure of the wording, so maybe you can help me with the wording. We want to make sure that that still remains.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, the appropriate wording, which would be consistent with Council's long-held position, would be something like that Council continues to support the 24-hour curfew-free operations of Melbourne Airport. And I think that restates our long-held position, as I said.
Thank you. Does any other Council require any clarification?
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Mayor. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah. In the recommendations in point 3, support the development of tools within the Victorian Planning Commission to protect the prescribed airspace, etc. And point 4, the alternative noise contours. What monitoring process are in place to ensure there is not an increase in noise to the residents on this new flight path?
Through Mr. Mayor, there's not so much a new flight path proposed, although with the third runway, clearly there'll be more planes entering and exiting the airport in an east-west direction. Air Services Australia, which is a federal government agency, undertake detailed noise evaluation and plane tracking evaluation throughout the whole of Australia, so clearly the Melbourne Airport is a key part of that. So a significant amount of data comes out of that. There are a number of working groups that analyse that information. Council's part of a number of groups where feedback is provided to the community on performance of aircraft, their adherence to the flight paths, any noise impacts, level of complaint. So it is monitored very, very closely.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other clarification, councillors? Move on to the motion, Councillor Ramsey, with an adjustment dot point 6.
Additional dot point 6 about the 24-hour curfew.
Do I have a seconder for the alternate motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Or altered motion. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.8, Milton Civic Centre Project. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report relates to the project to expand the capacity of the existing Civic Centre, so the building we're in now, in the Melton Township. The project has reached a point where key decisions in terms of direction on the project are necessary. By way of background, Council will recall considering a report at its meeting in August 2017 where Council resolved to proceed with the extension of this Civic Centre site to accommodate staff for the next 15 to 20 years. In addition, at that time, Council adopted a strategic direction that the ultimate civic centre would be established within what's known as the Toolan Metropolitan Activity Centre in Cobblebank, somewhere in the period of 2032 to 2037, so 15 to 20 years out. The interim arrangement was to provide for an expansion of the existing civic centre. It was intended to provide capacity for projected staff growth over the next 15 to 20 years, and in addition, address the existing situation where the current civic centre is already beyond capacity. It was envisaged that the office expansion would cost in the order of $15 to $20 million, and that the ultimate facility to be constructed in the Toolan Town Centre would be in the order of $60 million in today's terms. Following Council's decision in August of last year, Peddlethorpe Architects were subsequently awarded the contract to design the expansion of the existing building in October 2017, and since that time they've been working on the detailed design, and there's been significant consultation with staff during that period as well. Following completion of the initial preliminary designs, it has become evident that the cost of the expansion is significantly beyond that originally proposed. Currently, the estimated construction cost is in the order of $22 million, which would deliver a two-storey, 4,000 square metre building on the site of where Jerrawarra Health are currently located, and Council will be aware that they will be relocating to their new facility in Barry's Road later this year. A further $8 million is likely to be expended on the refurbishment of the building that we're in now, and that will include replacement of the existing plant, heating and cooling, which is nearing the end of its useful life. Significant efforts have been undertaken to reduce likely costs, including the reduction in size of the new two-storey building. However, despite those efforts, the projected cost is still in the order of $30 million. For this reason, it is appropriate for Council to reconsider the direction of the project at this time before proceeding further. The report before you, councillors, presents three options which are available to Council, which I'll summarise now. First option is to continue with the new building and refurbishment of the existing building at a cost of $30 million, with a future move, as initially intended, to Toolan in the period of 2032 to 2037. The second option is to complete a new building, but to reduce the scope of works to enable it to be delivered for a maximum of $20 million, so consistent with the original budget. This would likely necessitate a freestanding building with no works on the existing civic centre. So in other words, demolishing where Jerrawarra Health are now located and building a two-storey building in that location, freestanding from the current civic centre. Third option is to change direction of the project in light of the advice I've just provided on the project and commit to moving to Toolan Metropolitan Activity Centre, or the Activity Centre, with a view to being located there within the next 4 years. The report analyses the benefits and disbenefits of each option, and I'll just provide a high-level overview tonight of those. In relation to option one, the benefit of expending $30 million on this current facility is questionable, particularly given the intention that it would only be a short-term option, i.e. approximately 15 to 20 years. In relation to option two, it is possible to build a freestanding building on the site where Jerrawarra Health are located, for up to $20 million. The outcome of this would not provide a particularly cohesive building, as the existing civic centre would remain untouched and staff within the new facility would be dislocated from staff within the existing centre, and importantly this would also likely result in some difficulties in providing a seamless customer service, which is obviously critical. Option three would mean commencing the process of establishing a new civic centre at Toolan now, with a view to occupying a new building in approximately 4 years' time. Council will recall that the Toolan Metropolitan Activity Centre is the most significant activity centre planned for the entire municipality, and will ultimately be at a scale beyond the existing Caroline Springs Town Centre. It will be similar in scale in that it will have schools, civic facilities, significant commercial, medium-density residential, but it will also importantly have a train station. There have been a number of factors which have changed within the Toolan Activity Centre since Council made its initial decision in 2017, and in particular, I've already mentioned, the State Government have committed to build a new train station at Toolan, and that will be open by the end of next year. A recent planning permit has been issued to Coles to commence stage one of their shopping centre immediately south of the proposed train station. The state government have recently announced the purchase of land for a secondary college adjacent to the town centre, and the Catholic Education Office have also committed to building a primary and secondary school site in close proximity to the state school on land that they have recently purchased. Furthermore, Lendlease Communities, Council's joint venture partner with the Atherston Estate, will be building a significant oval and pavilion within the town centre by the end of 2021 as part of the Atherston Estate. If I can refer councillors to page 207 of the report, there's a financial assessment provided there, which is a net present value comparison between the three options that I've just spoken about. And it can be seen from that evaluation that the third option, in other words, relocate to Toowoomba now, is actually the most financially viable option for council to adopt in net present value terms. In terms of council's financial position, council does have the capacity to pay for the development without impacting on rates or current spending commitments. The project could effectively be funded utilising some of the proceeds from the Atherston Lendlease joint venture. Projected cash flows from Atherston based on the current 10-year financial plan from 2019 through to 2024 are approximately $200 million and in the order of $260 million over the life of the joint venture project. In essence, under that scenario, council would be investing part of the dividend from the Toowoomba joint venture, investing it back into the Atherston estate, which encompasses part of the Toowoomba town centre. Also on a financial aspect, whilst detailed design has obviously not been undertaken for the Civic Centre at Toowoomba, it's expected that there would be a significant community element to such a facility, particularly at ground level, and accordingly council would be likely to be eligible for funding through funding streams such as the State Government Growing Suburbs Fund. Mr Mayor, in conclusion, it is considered that committing to relocating the Civic Centre to Toowoomba in the short term is the appropriate course of action in the circumstances that I've just spoken about. In light of the likely costs associated with expanding and renovating the existing centre, construction of the new centre at Toowoomba is in fact more financially viable for council and would establish a long-term position for council's key civic presence. Mr Mayor, if I could refer councillors to the recommendation, which is on page 201, in essence it's recommended that council cease the current Civic Centre office accommodation project in High Street. Two, that we begin design of the new Civic Centre at Toowoomba now for target occupancy by 2023. Three, that council set aside a budget of $60 million over the next 5 years for design and construction of the project. And fourthly, that over a period of time that council will consider the future of the current Civic Centre site, particularly as part of the urban design framework that will be carried out over the next 12 to 18 months for the Melton Town Centre. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr Mayor. On page 207, for option three, it states a $3.285 million rent return. Can you please explain how this figure was calculated or offered?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I'm happy to do that. Under the scenario of moving to Toowoomba in the short term, it's proposed to build a building in the order of 8,000 square metres. That would provide greater capacity than we would need day one. So, in other words, if we were to move there in 4 years' time, we would not occupy the whole building. So, as part of the financial feasibility, an assessment has been provided in terms of what happens with that vacant floor in this case, and we would be able to lease that out for a period of time, and this number here, rent return, reflects that return over that period of time.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr Mayor. Just a foreshadow motion, should this not be proceeded with by councillors, I have an alternate motion already ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Mr Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second, Mr Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any council oppose the motion? Councillor Carley. You oppose the motion? Well, four opposed. Okay. We're going to debate, sorry. Councillor Ramsey, do you wish to speak?
Can I reserve my...
You can reserve your right to speak later. Councillor Carley?
Mr. Mayor, I think there was more that opposed than just myself.
You can option to speak. You can sit down and I'll get someone else to speak.
Yeah, no, no.
No problem. I was just sharing that vote for the change because Councillor Medlock loves getting up there. I'm just giving her a break.
Yeah,
must
no,
be
tired
by now.
Yeah, I'll
first.
Speak, Mr. Thank Mayor. You. I'll go first, if you don't mind.
No, carry on, Councillor Medlock.
First of all, I do...
mix up a bit.
Sorry?
Just trying to mix up a bit.
First of all, I do acknowledge that the extra accommodation is required for our staff who are already at maximum capacity here, as well as the growth of the staff that will come with as the community grows, and I understand that. However, me personally, I have always imagined and hoped that when council builds its next civic centre, it will be more centralised in the municipality, not necessarily on the outskirts of Melton. And I understand council has land there in the Toolan precinct, Atherston, but building something out of convenience and not necessarily out of functionality is not the right thing in my point of view, especially when it's a $60 million project. It's probably not the best decision. Our residents, I believe, already feel disenfranchised from the great divide between Melton Township and the rest of the communities. So what I was hoping was some sort of happy medium to bring the community together, somewhere like Rockbank or near the outer Metropolitan Ring Road. And I've always been open and honest about that. It's nothing that other councillors haven't heard before. Second, I really do not feel comfortable in bringing forward such a massive project 15 to 20 years forward and burdening our community with an extra $60 million in such a short period of time. To me, it just does not feel responsible, and I really don't want the backlash of that occurring with my community members. I also feel very uncomfortable when we are making such a drastic change to Council's previous decision without community consultation. And there's some notes in the report saying that the officers don't necessarily recommend it goes out to consultation, which that rings alarm bells on every level for me. I think this could have a detrimental effect on the relationship that we have with our community that we've dedicated so much time and effort to try and build our community consultation relationship with our community. So I would like to see, if we were to choose something, I would like to see further options to be explored. It is too large of a project to just bring it forward. Otherwise, potentially, and I'm just bringing it out there, option two would be the wisest choice if we were to make it tonight. However, I would like to further have community consultation, proper community consultation, as well as look at other options that are available. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlock. Councillor Mendes.
Okay, I want to start off with the first thing is that the staff here deserve the extra accommodation. It's an OHS issue now. They're actually that crammed in. We're getting more staff due to the population growth increasing and needing more services and staff to service those. You're looking at childcare staff. You're looking at people that oversee aged care, people within the planning area. We're needing more and more staff all the time to meet the growing demands of our community. We can't continue to squash them into the facilities that we've got. We have to start now, because if we start in 5 years' time and delay it, the costs are going to be greater. Central, I don't think Atherston or Toolan area could not be described as central. If you look at the map of Melton and the projections over the next 5 years, that area is the centre of Melton. I think we need to look at what Wyndham have done. They've got hubs everywhere, so they're actually spread out and they've got a central area. So why can't we do that and propose that as an addition to this motion before us tonight? Something like having a hub at the library, Woodlea, Rockbank, Hillside, keeping the facility that we've got to a degree and putting some other sort of services within it. I think this is an excellent idea. We need to start thinking about the future of our city. If we don't start planning now, we plan in 5 years' time, our ratepayers will pay. They'll pay more than they're going to pay now. In fact, I don't think they're going to pay much at all when you look at the fact that landlords are going to contribute to it through the funds that they've provided. And we've got land, so let's go ahead with it now, because if the council don't delay it tonight, they're actually causing staff issues and the residents greater pain when it comes to payments.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Mayor. I
This is a really tough one because I absolutely agree with regards to the accommodation issues. I'll call it an accommodation crisis. You only have to go into the family services office, in which I did today, and saw the appalling state of the flooring. I absolutely agree that our staff deserve the best. I have to balance my decision on recently getting calls from struggling ratepayers in our municipality who have identified a number of issues, including the wage price index and the fact that wage increases aren't keeping up with the cost of living pressures in our community. That's number one. Most of the phone calls were with regards to the recent rate assessments, and I'm not here to say that it was too excessive or it wasn't enough, but I'm responding to the calls from our community in relation to their cost of living pressures, and I'm not comfortable in making such a significant financial commitment over the next 4 years without further assessments done in relation to this development. I think it's absolutely necessary and important. I just don't think the timing right now is the best. I think there needs to be further... I think there needs to be community consultation right now in relation to this project right now before a decision is made. But I'll leave it at that for now, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other council wish to speak for the motion?
I'd like to speak on that, Mr. Mayor.
Hold on a second. You wish to speak for the motion?
Sorry.
Councillor, do you wish to speak? For it? No? Okay. Councillor DeSantis, you speak against the motion.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm against this massive amount to build this building. I find issues. I understand also with my fellow councillors that our staff do require more space, and I understand that renovations to this building could, or extension of this building could actually provide that, where the Jerriwarra Health Service is now towards that area. But also I just can't see the justification in it, considering we can't afford some toilets for children in our playgrounds. We have issues getting basketball courts. Just basketball courts, football ovals, coverage for our young children, for our adults playing sports, for our elderly, and I just think the money could be used elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Does any other council wish to speak? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I've heard what my fellow councillors have said, and can I just note that I did see Councillor Ramsay and Councillor Mendes vote in favour of this, but I didn't see Councillor Hardy, if you voted for or against, so I'm a little bit, I wasn't sure. So you, are you all for this?
No,
but when you'd, before we went into debate. Yeah, okay. Mr. Mayor, I would like to see our next town centre more central. I don't know where Councillor Mendes gets that Toolan is central, because she's an Eastern Corridor councillor, and she would know, representing the residents of Watts Ward, how disconnected they actually do feel. And it's sad when you hear residents in Watts Ward that pay City of Melton rates, but they feel closer to Brimbank Council. That's a huge concern. So if we're going to spend $60 million, I would like to see that it is more central for our residents. And I'm not convinced, Mr. Mayor, that if this is brought forward $60 million, I know Mr. Shannon said that it wouldn't impact on other projects, but I'm not convinced that that's what's going to happen. I think it will impact on what projects we've got in our capital works. It doesn't sit well with me, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Ramsay, you wish to sum up?
I've spoken.
I think everybody's spoken the wish to speak.
Do you want
Mr. Mayor?
Oh, sorry, Kesich.
I would like just to say a few words why I feel to vote against it. According to international and domestic economists, they're saying that upon us is a greater financial crisis than one of 2009, and I wouldn't be confident to vote in this moment for this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Ramsay, you wish to sum up.
Mr. Mayor, if I could. No one likes big ticket items and decided on at the drop of a hat, but this has been something we as a council have had on our radar since 2006. The former mayor, Councillor Mamarella, was on the front page of the paper saying extend the current building, which we're in, by $26 million at that time then. That would probably equate to the $60 million now. Every councillor that has spoken has said that we need extra accommodation for our staff. Well, we provide up to 200 quality services, Mr. Mayor, and every councillor around this table knows that. We're prepared to spend close to $50-something million dollars on a swimming pool, but we're not prepared to spend this sort of money to provide an annex for our staff to provide these services for our community. It just seems a little bit difficult for me to understand. When you've got Lendlease and you've got the land there and you've got in excess of $260 million coming from that area, you can quarantine $10 million from that site and use it on that site. When Caroline Springs was built, the developers used their money on that development. So at the end of the day, everybody sees that they want it more central. We can't build a swimming pool. We've had some money for it because we've got no land. Here we've got the land. Here we've got a project partner that will give us those dollars. So we don't have to. Yes, we may not be able to spend as much in our capital works program, but we can quarantine those dollars and we can fund that at no real rate increase to our community. The money will be accumulated in Atherston and it will be spent in Atherston, and we can deliver that. And our staff, the, I don't know, how many is it now, 900 odd, can be housed so they can deliver. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Motion moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Dees. Are those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I declare the motion defeated. Councillor Hardy, you...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I get a division?
Of course you can. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Turner, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsay. All those against the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Kissich. Going the wrong way around. I declare the motion lost. Councillor Hardy, you foreshadowed a motion if the motion was lost.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Principally, what was discussed tonight, all the dot points are all correct. So what it needs to be is conglomerated or incorporated into a business plan. So what I propose here, Mr. Mayor, is the council cease current contract with Pettlethorpe Architects. Two, identify land options at Toolloon for the express purpose of forward planning a future civic office as part of council's 10-year capital works plan, which is under the state government controls. Three, prepare a master plan designed to identify and evaluate all project planning options for a future civic office located at Toolloon. Four, formulate a strategic business case inclusive of value for money and project objectives, testing of all feasible options, cost plans. Five, undertake an expensive community consultation program with all project elements, including concept drawings and all evaluation criteria on the table for public consultation. And six, establish a future fund for the express purpose of funding the future Civic Centre project over the next 5 years. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? We go into debate. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, councillors. This motion contains a number of bullet points, but it is underscored by the need for councillors to dedicate a weekend to have a detailed discussion regarding the project and understand the modelling that is necessary to successfully complete a project within which will require the community input. The purpose of a master plan and study is to identify and value all the project planning options for the establishment of a future civic centre. The outcome should be a master plan that is part of a development strategy for the next 5 years, with all project elements finalised and project mobilisation timeframes signed off. And that means in 2022 or thereabouts that the spade goes in the ground. The report will incorporate the feasibility study, executive summary, conditions brief, preferred site, the options, scope of works, capital costs, recurrent cost drawings, implementation program, procurement method, analysis and evaluating modelling, strategic business case and preliminary business case. There's a gateway review to all this. Is the review is the strategic business case, the final business case, the procurement, the tender decisions and benefit evaluation. All these dot points are prescribed as a model for future projects of this nature. They do require the community consultation program. They do require the officers and also others that are consultants to be on board to describe to us what it actually, what we're thinking about, what is involved, the drawings, and a lot of other issues, Mr. Mayor. So I put this to the councillors. There is time, there is community consultation, there is a banking component involved. All the areas that were talked about previously are encapsulated within this motion, and I put this to councillors for review. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Millett.
Mr. Mayor, I wasn't aware that there was going to be a foreshadow of motion, and there are a lot of elements to Councillor Hardy's foreshadowed notice of motion, and I don't feel comfortable in saying, yeah, I agree, because I need to see all those dot points and actually see what implications that might have on our community. What I took from that is that it's still going to be in the Toolan area, but also what I took from that is that it's still going to happen within 5 years. I mean, councillors are saying, yeah, we need accommodation. Look at the aquatic centre. The aquatic centre took 10 years of strategic consultation with the community, strategic documents, experts. If we were to turn around and say, let's do it in 2 years, I bet you every one of these councillors around the table would say, no, Councillor Mabley, that's ridiculous. To put forward a project 15 to 20 years ahead, and, you know, Councillor Ramsey is saying that the money should stay within Atherston if it's Atherston. Well, no, because the land is actually belonging to the community, so it should be dispersed equally amongst the community. It shouldn't just stay in one area. This is the first I've ever heard of it. I always thought that it was going to go into the general ratepayers' fund. Correct me if I'm wrong. I must have missed that memo, but I really don't feel comfortable as a steward of residents' money, over 155,000 residents, to fast forward a project between 15 to 20 years and burdening our ratepayers $60 million within that 15 to 20 years to conglomerate that into 5 years. We're still going to have to pay it off. Regardless, and say as what they say, the housing industry is actually on a down, as we all know it is. Safe Atherston sales don't go as well as we recall when it was first starting off. It was a slow sale, Mr. Mayor. We know that, and sales have picked up. Say if they slow down again, who's going to pay that $60 million? It'll be the ratepayers. I do not feel comfortable as the steward of the residents' money to put forward a project that was deemed. We did have it within 15 to 20 years, I understand, but to put it forward that short amount of time in the next 5 years for $60 million is. I don't want no part in it, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey. I think so.
Amount of 20 million, 30 million. What was the latest figure for redeveloping this site, Mr. Sherry?
$30 million.
$30 million on a site that aged. So rather than do that, we have the office has put together some recommendations. So there's $30 million towards this site. Yes, I know in the short term we might have to take some of that back and do the air conditioning and a few other things that were happening. When Caroline Springs was built, when Woodley was built, when Taylor's Hill was built, when Diggers West was built, all the developers that had that dollars there were spent in the area. Yes, Atherton is a general program, and yes, those dollars do go into the general pool. But it's collected for now Atherton everywhere. As a result, it was good planning
that
the council's
back. Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
My
point of order is Councillor Ramsay is mentioning developers, but council was never part of those developments. Atherston's a little bit different. We are.
Good point.
So you're you know, you saying that when you talk
point,
about
taking. Point taken.
Thank
point
you.
Taken.
Thank
you, Councillor Ramsay.
Can I just have clarification? Because Councillor Ramsay asked a question to Mr. Luke Shannon about how much this is going to to develop this one. The answer was $30 million, but option two is $15 to $20 million. Am I incorrect in my interpretation of that?
Mr. Mayor, if I can elaborate. So there were two options that relate to this site. You're correct in that the second option, I think it was to go back to the drawing board, in essence, for the review of the current site, do no works on the building that we're currently in, and build a new freestanding building where Jarrawarra Health are currently located next door. Estimated cost around about $15 to $20 million, probably $20 million. The alternate to that is to continue with the current plan, which is a building attached to this building, and refurbishment of this building, which would be around about $30 million.
Okay. So there is a cheap option.
Thank you. Councillor Carley, do you wish to speak as the second proposal?
Mr. Mayor, I've finished and there should be no more debate after.
You didn't move it.
I didn't move it.
Councillor Hardy did.
Sorry, I apologise.
Okay.
Profusely,
thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I mean, this has been debated for quite some time. I think I've made my opinion known. I have to say, a little bit disappointed that Councillor Hardy, as Deputy Mayor, didn't circulate this beforehand, especially when there are so many dot points, and I would like to have then spoken to the officers and got a little bit of advice about that as well. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy for you to put that to the vote.
Does any other council wish to speak? Councillor Hardy, sum up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Noting all the councillors' issues and trying to put them all in a strategic position, a strategic business case requires the business case to be put out there. It needs to, requires it to be tested. It requires the financial support and backing and the risks allocated and identified. So all those issues are within the strategic business case, and given it's got 5 years in which all council officers and also consultants will be engaged and also reports made to ensure that the business case is sustainable. And I underline the word sustainable, Mr. Mayor. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Mr. Mayor, before we go to a vote, can I just ask for that to be foreshadowed motion.
Speak before the
no, I don't want to speak. I just like to hear the foreshadowed motion again because it's very wordy.
Sorry.
Yes. Thank you, Councillor Bushy. The motion is the council cease current contract arrangements with Pedalthorpe Architects identify land options at Tooloo for the express purpose of forward planning a future civic office as part of Council's 10-year capital works plan. Prepare a master plan designed to identify and evaluate all project planning options for a future civic office located at Tooloo. Formulate a strategic business case inclusive of value for money and project objectives, testing of all feasibility options and cost planning. 5. Undertake an extensive community consultation program with all project elements, including concept drawings and all evaluation criteria on the table for public consultation. And 6. Is establish a future fund for the express purpose of funding the future Civic Centre project over the next 5 years. That is, after 5 years, they all become relevant documents ready for mobilisation for the project.
Mr Mayor, if you allow me, I just would like to ask, because it's a very serious issue, I just wanted to ask the CEO for his input in relation to if there are any immediate concerns that will have repercussions to our residents in relation to this foreshadowed motion.
Mr Toy.
Because neither of us have knew anything about it, that's all.
Can you repeat the question, Councillor Bush?
I just wanted to know if there is, from the top of your head, but any immediate repercussions or issues legally with regards to ending our current arrangement with that provider?
We would have to negotiate with the contractors that are currently designing the project that is on board, but they've been on hold for some weeks now. And we've advised them that we're reviewing whether the project will proceed or not and that it was coming to council. It wouldn't be the first time that a design contract has been negotiated out based on the initial cost estimates for the works included, but it would need to be negotiated out.
Okay, so there is no immediate risk with regards to potential for litigation as a result?
No, it would be a commercial outcome, I would highly doubt that we would wind up in litigation over it, but it would be a commercial outcome.
Mr Mayor, could I ask a question of Councillor Hardy? All councillors, if the councillors are willing to defer this, just so we can
fully understand.
Sorry?
I think we need to take a vote.
We've finished debate, Councillor.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Debate's been closed, we must go on.
I'm not debating. Because one of my questions to Councillor Hardy would be what would we do in the short term? Because his plan,
So let's go on the motion and then we can discuss that in a briefing if necessary. Moved by Councillor Hardy. Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion? Against? I declare the motion carried.
I'd like to call a division, please, Mr Mayor.
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Turner. Against the motion? Councillor Medlick, Councillor Bushy, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley. I declare the motion carried.
Mr Mayor, can it be noted somewhere in the minutes that the motion that was just adopted was just given to us basically verbally by Councillor Hardy? Councillors were not given any other notice. That be noted, please?
Of course it can be noted. But he's not the first councillor that comes up with a change at the last minute.
No, something as significant as this,
warrants
it. We've had many significant things. Anyway, let's move on. Item 12.9 now, which was 19.3. Funding support for Mountain Hospital. Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And my computer's just turned itself off, so Mr. Shannon's going to give me a lend of his hard copy. I knew the price of going electronic.
Yes, Councillor. So much faith.
As you would be aware, the Melton Hospital campaign has been underway for a little while, since 100 days to the election, and I think we're down in the 70s now. So it's been underway for a few weeks, and there is a community group, whilst not part of the formal hospital campaign the council is conducting, they have been supportive of the initiative to advocate for a community, for a hospital within the Melton area. The group are recently formed. They're about 12 months ago that they formed. Their only source of income is donations from their members, or contributions from their members, and they are wanting to undertake a number of activities in support of the hospital campaign, and have written to council requesting council give consideration to providing them funding, and the amount that they have requested is $10,000. They indicated that this would contribute to the cost of printing, mail-outs, distribution of flyers, the development and maintenance of their website, updating it, hosting community-based events such as Family Day with the barbecue, information booths and entertainment to attract people to the campaign, and possibly an involvement through the as part of the Jerawarra Festival. Officers believe that the hospital group have been very supportive of the Melton Hospital campaign. However, it is our view that the extent of any financial support to be provided to the group is very much a matter for council determination. That is why we have not made a recommendation specifically in relation to the possible amount of any donation, but have rather recommended to council that you give due consideration to the request. As council is aware, there was an amount provided in the 2018-19 budget for the hospital advocacy campaign, so a contribution could come from that budget line item, or alternatively council could make an allocation under the community grants program, albeit that this funding request has been forwarded to the community grants program for consideration. But by the time it goes through that process, along with all other community grant applications, and a decision is made, it would not be timely in terms of actually delivering outcomes to the hospital campaign. So that's another reason why it's been brought forward onto the council agenda this evening. So essentially, council, the options are that you approve the funding as requested, which is $10,000, that you approve a lower amount than that to contribute to activities of the group, or that council not approve any funding for the group. Happy to answer any questions, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regards to the group being formed a little more than over a year ago, is there any reason why they didn't ask for funding or didn't come to the budget 223s like that we have throughout the year prior to like now wanting the funding? Why the sudden urgency now?
Basically, they survived off their contributions from their members and professional support from some of the professional members, like accountants and legal persons who did the incorporation and so on. Given that council's campaign was funded in our 2018-19 budget, it's post that they've now tried to hook into that campaign. So that didn't happen until the budget, so any request sort of couldn't have been before that, because they weren't aware of what council was proposing until we actually decided to do it.
Yep. Councillor Bushy.
Can I just ask if there's a difference, Mr. Torrey, in relation to the difference of funding it through the community grants program, governance-wise, and the policies that sit behind the requirements versus what's essentially being proposed?
Only a technical difference, I guess. The community grants process, it has been assessed under that process and assessed as being eligible, but there are some limitations on the amount of funding, and it goes into a competitive pool with all other projects that are assessed. So in that sense, it could be impacted by going through that process. The second thing is it has formal requirements around reporting, but if council decided to contribute outside of the community grants process, which is what this is up for consideration for, you could append those conditions to the grant as well, so it would have the same governance.
That's what I would like to see,
this methodology.
Mayor. Absolutely. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to get my numbers right, we've already spent $350,000 on an advocacy campaign that's running. How much have we spent? How much was the advocacy campaign?
Roughly $160,000 we spent to date in total of a $350,000 campaign. But the campaign is to be scheduled over the next sort of 4 years, a significant chunk in the lead up to the current election, and then a lower tail drifting off.
Okay. Also, Mr. Mayor, when we speak about this hospital group, and Mr. Torrey was just talking about, I guess when they go through the you know, a council budget process, I know that who actually would have assessed this? Because I know, and I think many of my fellow councillors, when we sit on a budget panel, the amount of questions that our community members are asked and the plans and the budgets that they need to put in before we can look at them is quite detailed. When I read this, was there anything attached to this that showed a budget of where or how much would be spent on printing, how much would be spent on flyers, how much would be spent on a website? Was there any breakdown, or is it just basically just a letter?
It was a broad figure. No specific detail on any of the individual items.
Okay. Thank you.
Does any council require any further clarifications?
Yes. To get the grant, through a grant, the $10,000 annual grant, would that money then be seen as being not theirs if we were to give the money tonight, so they've already given it back, so to speak? So we give them the $10,000 tonight and then they get the grant.
If council allocate any money to them tonight, the application to the grants, community grants process won't proceed.
Any other council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, I do. Is there any possibility that we could attach a clause or part of the recommendation that they submit a detailed budget and that councillors view that budget? Because I too have concerns that it's just a couple of lines here of what they want to spend, whereas I know that, well, all of us actually sit on one or more grant committees, and there's a lot of stringent ticks and, you know, boxes to tick, and I would just wanted to know if that could be
It's really within council's power, councillor. If that is the way council wished it to go, a motion along the lines that council approve funding up to a dollar figure, subject to a detailed budget being submitted for council endorsement. So we could say to them, you've got a budget of up to $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000 or whatever $1,000, give us what you're going to actually spend it on, and before we give you the money, that would achieve that.
And sorry, Mr. Mayor, and also the acquittal or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, well,
whatever
the acquittal would follow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one more question. As we're running, as the community is running the hospital campaign, which is fabulous, by the way, and it's evident you can see the numbers that are coming in with our postcards. Do you think, I don't know if I should direct this to Mr. Bean or Mr. Torrey, but that I guess some of our community members might get a little bit confused as to where this group kind of sits and why we got two groups fighting for the same thing, and to me it could just get a little bit messy, I think.
Do you want to come?
Look, I guess many hands make light work. The council has a very structured and strategic campaign that it is running. We've been very open and transparent with this group in the fact that we've got to run our own race as far as how we do it, because there are many things that we can do, but also there are many things that we can't do as a council. We've got to be very mindful of who we are and what we are, and that we represent 156,000 residents at this point in time. But there's an incredible opportunity for a community group who can activate themselves very quickly, who don't necessarily have the accountability like, say, our staff do of a council in doing what they do. They are working extremely well with us at the moment, really complementing what we're doing, and I think we are with them as well. There has been some lumps and bumps along the way, but nothing that can't be repaired and can't be sort of addressed, and it's really about their enthusiasm and their motivation in wanting to get a public hospital in Melton that's really driving them to be the way that they are. So, I mean, I don't really have a clinical answer for you to sort of say whether people are seeing them as us and us as them, but I guess the more profile that they can bring to this community about what we're trying to achieve, it can really only be a good thing for all. So, thank you.
Any further clarification, councillors?
I have an alternate, Mr. Mayor, that incorporates some of the stuff that we've discussed. Sorry.
Do you wish to share it before, or do you wish to
I'm happy to share it now, but I'm hoping that I'm just writing it on the spot, if the words
actually
are okay.
Whilst Councillor Bushy's writing, or continues...
No, I think he's going to move it with an alternate,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
I would actually like to move the original.
I think Councillor Bushy asked first, in my opinion.
But he's still...
With the assistance of the CEO... that we approve up to $10,000 with that incorporates a detailed budget... to be submitted, and also subject to the same governance requirements as is required by other community, or as is required by the current community grants process.
So, sorry, could you read the first line again, Councillor Bishi?
To provide up to $10,000.
Subject to.
Subject to.
I'd love to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I was going to say, with the changes, are you happy to second
that? Definitely, because I was going to basically say the same things.
Do you want to repeat it again so that everybody's
clear? The wording is... subject to $10,000.
Sorry, the council contribute up to $10,000,
yes,
subject to the group submitting a detailed budget for council approval.
Yep.
And conditions being appended to the grant identical to those applying to the community grants program.
And that's why you're the CEO. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried.
Could I call a division, Mr. Mayor?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlock, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, I declare the division carried. Item 13 and 14, reports from delegates point to other bodies and council representation and acknowledgements. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. My mouse has died, so I'm just going to use my fingers. I've got one of these, actually. I just never use it.
Would you like me to come back to you?
Yes, please, if you can, that would be great.
Councillor Kesley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
This computer system's making itself more favourable to me every 30 seconds. Sorry.
Councillor Kesley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 31st of the August of 2018, I attended the City of Melton Business Excellence Awards at the TAB.
Tabcorp,
sorry. Sorry, I have a common cold and I'm not feeling too well. On the 7th of September 2018, I attended wonderful exhibition celebrating the 15 years of the Friends of the Melton Botanic Garden Botanic Arts Exhibition. Well done. and on the 11th of September 2018 attended Melton City Council Sports Awards night at the Tab Court. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any Councillor Bushy?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Friday 31st, the 2018 City of Melton Business Excellence Awards, which just keeps getting better every year. It's fantastic. Tuesday, the 11th of September, the Melton City Council Sports Awards night. And it was great to take part and see all our great clubs being recognised. And it's also a pleasure to serve on the Leisure Advisory Committee because you get a real deep understanding of our strategy and what we look for in the clubs, and you have a little bit to do with them also. Last Saturday, the invitation to F45 training in Caroline Springs. F45 run a number of fitness programs, but they had a special day last Saturday in support of Are You OK Day, where they raised approximately $10,000 for the cause. It was great to see lots of community out there, and a pleasure to meet Peter Hitchener, who came as a special guest along with some ex-AFL players. It was a good day. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Councillor Mayor, are you ready or do you want to move over first?
No, I'm ready, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I attended the Melton Community Learning Board Lifelong Learning Festival launch and the Lifelong Learning Festival Working Project Group, all to do around the Lifelong Learning Festival that's coming on the 5th and 7th of October, with over 130 events running throughout 25 different locations throughout the municipality. So there is something fun for everyone. You can actually download an app that will give you all the list of the projects, the working groups or the, what would you call it,
classes,
workshops. Although I'm told that the pasta making class is already fully booked, so sorry about that. Also attended the Melton Transport Community Reference Group, and I'm just going to highlight just a couple because I know I don't want to mention everything because I'm short on time. The F45 Ravenhall Are You OK event raising $10,000. Mm. You mentioned that, yep. And also the Home Sewn exhibition artist Georgie Nicholson Community Weaving official closing event, and myself as the Mayor and Deputy Mayor braved the elements on Saturday to attend the Melton South Dream Big Festival at Mount Carberry, and may I say that it was absolutely freezing, but a great festival, and the food was absolutely amazing. And also the 2018 6-Star City of Melton Business Excellence Awards, and congratulations to all the winners on the night, and a great big congratulations to the winner of the Access and Inclusion Award that went to Melton Music, a fantastic music group that includes children and adults with all learning abilities. Well done to a worthy winner indeed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to sit for this. I'm going to read straight off my computer. Thank you very much, Mr. John. Okay. On the, let's say, the 23rd, or oh, sorry, right, the 29th of August, the Audit Committee meeting, and right following that, on the 31st was the Business Awards evening, and a great night had by all. The 1st of September was the Zonta Trivia Night. Going forward, the Southern Rural Water Customer and Stakeholder Reception in Melbourne, the invitation to Lifelong Learning, and thank you very much, Cathy, that was a great day. The exhibition to celebrating Friends of Botanic Gardens, and also the art exhibition that followed after that. There was also the Home Sewn area, and also the Melton South Day. That was on the Friday. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for I did the speeches on the Friday. Thank you very much. And on the Saturday, again, I attended with Councillor Medlick and yourself. And yes, I had an overcoat on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I attended the Multicultural Association of Community Empowerment Annual Forum, Annual Conference, and that was a lovely evening. The bi-monthly grants assessment panel I also attended on the 27th of August. The 30th of August, I attended the Community Road Safety Forum, and it was great to see that there was an increase in numbers. And I actually took my daughter, who's 16, to that evening, as she'll be getting her learners soon, and I thought it was really important that she attended. The 31st City of Melton Business Excellence Awards, well done, Mr. Bean and your team. Again, a wonderful evening, and it was so great to see all our local businesses there. 5th of September, the LG Pro Aged and Disability Service Awards with Coral. We attended, and unfortunately we didn't win for the Melton Go Arty program, but we were one of the 9 finalists, which was a win in itself for us. The exhibition celebrating 15 years of the Friends of the Melton Botanic Gardens, that was a wonderful evening as well, and we have one of our artists here, Sandra Pelly, in the audience, as well as with some other artists that joined her on the evening. 11th of September, the Melton City Council Sports Awards Night. 12th of September, time for the West Election Forum, which was great to see our community members come out and ask questions of our candidates and our local MPs leading up to a state election. Roads to Zero Steering Committee I also attended. And Mr. Mayor, if I could just take this time to let my fellow councillors know and make them aware of the really sad passing of Jim Bias, who was a resident in Diggers Rest. I was contacted by Jim's son, Stephen, the week that just passed. He was such a great man, and I will really miss his long emails and his attendance to my morning teas, and every time he'd leave, he'd write at least 6 pages of what Diggers Rest needed. So I will miss him greatly, and I'm sure the community of Diggers Rest and the wider community will miss him, and my condolences to Jim's family. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Mendes. Sorry. Councillor Mendes. Just mixing her up.
Okay. I want you to laugh.
On the 23rd of August, I attended the citizenship ceremony. Then the 25th of August, the Multicultural Association of Community Empowerment Annual Conference. The 30th of August, the Community Safety Forum, which once again was highlighted that our younger youth in the town need to attend these events to take on the safety messages that are given to them. On the 31st of August, the City of Melton Business Awards, and it was fantastic to see Fixwell Motors win again, an award that I think they truly deserve for the great service they give to our community. The 7th of September, the Botanical Arts Exhibition at Caroline Springs Gallery. And Sandra, your group have done an amazing effort. I've had many people comment on the great work that's in that gallery, and that's a credit to you and the other 3 artists. And it was wonderful on the 27th of August to give your group a grant, which is actually going to fund some holiday programs coming up in the next school holidays with special needs kids. And I think that's a good step move forward for this community. On the 8th and 15th of September, I stood in the cold weather for 2 weekends in a row. I don't know how I did it, but I managed to survive, and it was fantastic yesterday afternoon to say that Caroline Springs Hockey Club have actually gone back-to-back. They've only been operating for 2 years, and they are premiers in 2 different leagues. That's one of the women's teams. On Saturday afternoon, another women's team was successful in winning. And both teams, the first game was 1-1, and they had to go to penalties to win. It's quite nerve-wracking to see that, you know, teams competing against each other and to try and get to that last part where the team wins. Yesterday was a 0-0 end, and they actually went to penalties, and within halfway through the penalties, Caroline Springs were declared the winners. The men's team were unsuccessful, and the girls' junior team was successful, and the boys' junior team were unsuccessful. But I think we should all be impressed by the growth of this club and the way in which they go about themselves. Their positivity, even when they don't win, is to be admired. So I commend the Caroline Springs Hockey Club.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to start off... I'm only going to mention 2 things today or this evening, so please forgive me, and I apologise for having a fractured foot. I was unable to make some of those wonderful occasions, but I was the tour marshal for the Melton Hillside group that went to the Rotary Conference on the weekend, and this council helped fund that expedition. There were 15 disabled kids that went, 9 from Melton Hillside and 6 from the city of Stonington. Is it Stonington? Yep. I was blown away by the group. I want to thank Alana, Amy, Dean, Jazz, Jessica, Michaela, Sienna, Ryland and Valerie. They put Melton Hillside on the map. They were the things they had to do, the times they had to wait, the carers, the parents, the volunteers did an absolutely incredible job, and I urge everybody to get on Busy Feet Melton and look at the 4 performances. You will be blown away. We got a standing ovation, but none of us realised because we were too busy trying to get kids off stages and props out of the auditorium. My next... I've gone from a high to a real low. I was absolutely gutted when an announcement last week of a hospital costing almost $500 million was given to Frankston. Not that Frankston don't deserve it, but Melton needs something so badly. Last week, it is one of our key priorities. I feel like Oliver going up to people saying, please, sir, give me some more. Melton residents, whether you're in the east or in the township or in one of the hamlets, we have some serious health concerns. That's why it's the number one priority for this council. That's why we've invested the dollars that we have. And to see what I saw last week and the week before when not only myself but then last week when my daughter attended, there are ladies 84 years of age sitting in the emergency centre having a heart attack and retaining water where their stomachs are about 3 times the size of what they should be, and also their ankles. And they've had to wait 8 hours. We can take the burden away from that by funding a hospital in Melton. I know we're not a safe seat, but we're loyal, passionate, dedicated, hard-working people. So, Mr. Premier, or whoever the Premier is after the November 24th election, if it's Premier Andrews, Melton wants more. Please, give us the respect we deserve.
Councillor DeSantis, now if we get to go second last.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I feel privileged I'm last. Thank you. On Saturday, 18th of August, I attended the GAP on Graham fundraiser at Westwaters, and I'd like to congratulate Bob and Val Turner on a great night. Saturday, 25th of August, I attended the MACE Multicultural Association of Community Empowerment annual conference at Mountain Country Club. Thank you for having us, and it was a wonderful night. Wednesday, the 5th of September, I attended the Intercultural Advisory Committee at Melton Library. We spoke about cultural groups and great things happening within our municipality. Friday the 7th of September, I attended the Botanica Arts Expo, which was with local artists Sandra Pally, Naomi Hart, Leanne Ivankovic and Katrina Fiziskis, sorry if I've said that wrong, showcased their beautiful artwork captured from the Melton Botanical Gardens, who celebrated their 15 years. Well done to John and Jill Bentley and all the staff. Thursday the 30th of September, I attended the announcement of Free From Violence grants with the Honorary Minister Natalie Hutchins at Brimbank Council. Melton received $33,000 for the Baby Makes 3 program and to be established in our municipality. Great work to MCC officers, and thank you, and thank you to the State Government and the Honorary Minister Natalie Hutchins for this funding. There is no room for family violence in our municipality, and enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Been another fantastic month as usual, and lots happening during the month. I'll just pick out a few things because I'm sure the guys in the audience are dying to go home. On the 22nd of August, I attended the very special volunteer lunch for volunteer legends Malcolm Peacock and Margaret Wood for their services to volunteer in Melton. It was a nice lunch, nice and appropriate. On the 23rd, I attended one of our citizenship ceremonies where we had another 90 citizens signing up as Australian citizens. At the community forum on the 30th, of course, can't miss out the Botanic Gardens exhibition at the library. What a great job our staff did putting it on, but special mention, of course, to Sandra Pelling and Katrina Fiscaro and Leanne Ivankovic and Nomi Hart. What else we got here? Of course, awards night, the sports night on at Tabcorp Park on the 11th was another win for council. They seem to be getting better and better to run these events. Well done, Mr. Bean and his team. On the 14th, we had had a special day, actually. I had a business luncheon with Tim Palace at the Encore run by, it was run through Wyndham. Gave me a great opportunity to sit next to the treasurer. And I knew it was going. I didn't think I'd get that close to him. So I took a nice package about our hospital and a few badges and stuff like that, and I sat down, and I was able to sit, tell him about it for the whole meal. So I think he was a bit bored by the end, but he seemed to be positive, I'll just say that. By the time we'd finished, he was certainly nodding. I'm not sure if he was nodding off, but he was certainly nodding. On the 15th, Home Sewn exhibition at the library was with Georgie Nicholson from our company Tiki Knits. What a great exhibition it was. I think it was up to 40 knitters from Melton had a part in doing the tapestry. I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you call it when it's all knitting. I'll call it tapestry. But if you get a chance, nip into the library this week. The exhibition is just finishing, so it may still be up. And of course, the Big Dream Festival over the weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't have the weather for it, but they take my hat off to the whole team down there that put it on for the weekend. They come back year after year, and no matter what the weather is, I think they need to move it maybe a little bit closer to the warmer weather, but they do a great job with what they do. They're putting a lot of effort into it, and it's just a shame that they didn't have the weather. Thank you. We'll move on. Notes as a motion. Notes motion 15.1, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The council officers distribute a flyer within the next rates instalment to Cambridge and Watts Ward households outlining projects in the 2018-19 budget scheduled to be undertaken within these wards. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy.
I'll
seconded by Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any council require any clarification?
Could that include Coburn's ward as well?
I'm sure it will, really, but specifically asked you.
I'm happy to, but the purpose of, well, the reason why this has come up is because our rate payers in the Eastern Corridor, their projects weren't all outlined, whereas Coburn's was, so I just thought, just to ease the phone calls about rates increases and
a lot of people don't also read the pamphlets that go with the rates notice, so if there's a special one going
on. Councillor Bushy, are you happy to add cover
yep.
to that?
No worries.
Okay, moved by Councillor Carley, wants to talk? Are you happy? Sorry, you seconded it. Are you happy to add that on as well?
I'm happy.
Yeah, I just asked him because it says motion. Okay, moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Notes motion 15.2, 580. I move that Councillor Wright. Oh, sorry, Councillor Harding, you have to drive.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I forgot. I did the same last month.
Okay, item notice of motion 580, Councillor Turner.
Thank you. Councillor Wright to the Minister for Roads and Road Safety, the Honourable Luke Donnellan, MP. Seeking a commitment to duplicate Christie's Road from the roundabout at Deer Park bypass off-ramp through to Ballarat Road to address issues concerning road safety and traffic congestion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any? We got a seconder for the motion?
Yes, I'm happy to second that.
Okay, moved. Councillor Bob Turner.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, is anybody seek clarification?
No, I just add one dot point. If the Mayor and Councillor Madelick's happy for the little tweaking, that we also seek a commitment from David Hodgett, Shadow Minister from Roads and Infrastructure. I think this is a perfect time leading up to an election where we see what both parties are going to commit for the city, you know, for our residents in the City of Melton. And well done for this notice of motion, because I know that this is a huge safety issue and a huge safety concern for our residents. But like I said, I think it's great to...
I'm happy, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Madelick. Is there any councillor seek clarification? Okay. Those that oppose the motion, anybody, any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Move the motion past.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Sorry to drop on you again. And there's motion 581, Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Motion that council officers investigate and prepare a report of how much it will cost to launch the City of Melton monthly magazine, its printing and distribution to our residents. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor want any clarification? No. Seconded for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mayor. Moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, if I may. I'm terribly sorry, I forgot to mention that I have examples of similar magazines from different councils, and I'm happy to provide officers with the copies of.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Item 15.4, notice of motion 582, Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Motion that council officers prepare a report by the December 2018 meeting cycle on current measures which oversees the management and monitoring of vehicle access and parking in the major parks, gardens and public car parks within the municipality, and that this report includes the following. Point one, an audit of current vehicle or traffic management arrangements, associated data and trends. Point two, opportunities for review and improvement of arrangements guiding community use of parks and gardens to protect parkland, amenity and the safety of all users. Point three, how current and proposed arrangements and associated data can inform policy or strategic work into future community access to and use of parks, gardens and public car parks. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor like any clarification?
I'll second that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor require any clarification?
I do, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to know if the officers have enough time to write, because it sounds like an extensive report for the December meeting, seeing as it's mid-September.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I have had the opportunity to discuss this notice of motion with Councillor Kesich to get a better understanding of the issues that he's seeking to address. So I think, based on that, we can reasonably do it. My first reading of the notice of motion was it was a huge task, but I think actually it's perhaps not as wide as I first thought. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you allow me, Mr. Mayor, one of the reasons why I came out with this notice of motion is it's evident lately that commercial recreational and passenger vehicles are quite often illegally parked on or driven over the pavement or council maintained grass verges, parks and gardens. For instance, public parking along the commercial road, Caroline Springs, a few trucks have been illegally parked across four parking lots for quite some time. Several gardens and parks in the vicinity has been used for illegal parking of passenger vehicles and caravans. Along the Caroline Springs Boulevard, a number of vehicles have been parked in the morning during the school hours in front of or just behind the bus stops, posing a threat to the safety of other motorists and pedestrians. And also Caroline Springs Middle Road and parts of Ballarat Road repeatedly have been used illegally for selling of private and commercial vehicles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Kasich, seconded by Councillor Medlick.
No,
Councillor Hardy, sorry, my mistake. Did any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Notice 583, Councillor Kasich again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A motion that Melton Council officers write to Agriculture Minister Yala Fulford over what support options are available to Victorian farmers who have suffered 2 years of severe rainfall deficiencies without receiving a drought aid from the Victorian Government.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich. Moved by Councillor Kasich, seconded by...
I'm really honoured to second this one, Mr. Mayor, and I commend Councillor Kasich for bringing it up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Moved by Councillor Kasich, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? You wish some clarification?
Not so much clarification, and forgive me for my ignorance. However, I don't have a problem with the notice of motion, but I don't know much about the Victorian Government's aid in this area, and I'm not sure where Councillor Kasich has gotten the... Like, I don't want to be saying, writing to the Minister Fulford and saying, they haven't received money, if anybody knows if they have, because I'm not kind of in that loop, so I just wanted to make sure that they haven't received money, so the Minister doesn't turn around and say, well, actually they have. But I'm more than happy to support the notice of motion. I don't have an issue with that.
Mr. Mayor, point of order, it says what support options are available.
No. My issue is without receiving drought aid from the Victorian Government. That's the issue that I've got. I'm not sure if that's going to be included in the letter, but I don't want to be saying because you haven't supported if they have. That's all I'm...
I think that can be looked into when the letter's written, if you're happy or not.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Councillor Kasich.
The farmers across Victoria are facing a third failed spring in a row, and many are spending thousands of dollars a week to feed their stock. Much of paddocks are tinged green, but the pastures have very little substance and are not expected to provide enough feed for livestock once the weather warms in the coming weeks. Farmers in the region have been destocking for months and have been buying in hay to feed animals for the past 12 months. Victorian Government should find what support options are available for our farmers. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy with this notice of motion, except the bit where it says without receiving drought aid from the Victorian Government, because I've done some research today to find out exactly what options there are, and I'm happy to share it. So is Councillor Kasich happy to remove without receiving drought aid? Because that's actually quite embarrassing, because we have provided drought aid. I've done the research today.
Councillor Kasich, are you happy just to remove that last little bit of line?
Without knowing precisely they received or not, I can't remove that one.
I'm happy for
council officers to investigate.
And do the proper wording. You're happy with that?
Yeah, as long as we're not accusing the government not providing any aid, because that's how it reads.
We'll check on that. We'll make the wording to suit.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, looking at Councillor Kasich's motion, I also did my own research, and it doesn't take much because you just jump on the Premier's webpage and you have a look at what's going on. And on the 12th of September 2018, one of the media releases that went out was a drought support to help Victorian farmers. The Andrews Labor Government has announced additional support to ease the financial burden on Victorian farmers experiencing drought conditions. Minister for Agriculture, Yala Fulford, today outlined a further $5 million to ensure farmers and irrigation communities have the support they need. So I can continue on and on, Mr. Mayor, because it goes in a lot of detail.
I think if we just write to them, I think it's going to be pretty easy for them to give us an answer then, isn't it? So it shouldn't be a big deal.
Will Councillor Kasich remove
the last dot point?
Mr. Mayor, as I said when I prepared this notice of motion, actually it was before the announcement.
Carry on, Councillor Kesey.
I believe there's still the in waiting of appropriate aid. Maybe it has been announced, but they haven't got what they've been looking for.
But I think what I think councillors are trying to say to you is that the last line is actually an accusation, whereas everything before that was a good
was
question
fine.
To ask. Just makes it nice and neat. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you.
I would have suggested that we have receiving sufficient drought fund aid from the Victorian government, because they're still hurting. It is everywhere, on Facebook, in front of newspapers, everywhere you go you see them suffering. Yes, I know that Victorian government have given quite a bit of aid in the way of dollars, but it doesn't come close to dealing with the issue that the farmers are facing.
But what we're trying to say is that last line is making it negative. If you leave that last line out, it's positive.
Why don't we put...
You don't need the last line. It doesn't add anything to it, in my opinion.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, mm-hmm. I'm happy to remove that one, but I'll be coming back for the same thing if nothing happens.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Okay, moved by Councillor Kesey, seconded by Councillor Ramsey with that last line removed. Does any council want any more clarification?
Can you just please read it without...
It will be that Melton Council officers write to Agricultural Minister Joel Pinford over what support options are available to Victorian farmers who have suffered 2 years of severe rainfall deficiencies. Happy? All those in favour of the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not happy with it at the moment.
Well, that's what the mover has said. If you want to make an alternate motion, you better do it now.
Could we put, if we've deleted the last line, which, yes, I agree with, Mr. Mayor, you didn't ask me, but I agree with, can we put over what additional support options are available? Because we've said that they've given, so can we add additional support options?
Mr. Mayor, it's been announced, but they haven't received anything as yet, so if I understood properly.
So we're going
Mr.
To
Mayor,
ask
I'm happy to read through the whole article that breaks down exactly, it's quite a long article, I'm happy to read it all to you, that breaks down exactly where the money is going. More than happy to do that, Councillor Kesey.
That's the future, but present, they haven't got anything as yet, so... I would be happy if we remove the last one.
We don't know that, Councillor Kesey. The announcement was made on the 12th. We don't know if money has already been...
Well, I have spoken to...
Councillors, please sit down. Please sit down. Councillor Ramsey, sit down. Councillor Kesey, how do you want to move forward on this? Because we need to move forward.
As I stated before, just erasing a last part of the sentence without receiving drought aid from the Victorian government.
And you can discuss with... officers, if you want a little bit tweaking,
correct.
Okay, Councillor Ramsey, if he needs to tweak it, we'll tweak it. Okay, all those in favour of the motion, all those against, I declare the motion carried. Notice of motion 584. Councillor Kesey, you must have enjoyed that holiday, mate.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I was overseas and I thought I should contribute a bit more.
You were lonely.
Yes, I was very lonely writing these ones. A motion that a report be presented to Council a meeting by December 2018 with, number one, a listing of each current Council service and works that is delivered in-house. Number two, and before I read the number two, I read the officer's comments and thank you kindly. I would like to add their comments into number two, and I would read as I would like to stay. A list of what current council services and works are outsourced, with what is the annual cost of each, and what is the comparison cost for delivering each service or works in generally. Identify the capital cost and establishment cost associated with each service. And number three, option for Council to consider to deliver any outsourced services and works above in the house and next steps to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor require any clarification?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. So just in relation to point three, can you just explain that further to me? It says options for council to consider to deliver any outsourced services and works above in-house. What does that actually mean?
It means just the saving money, if we can.
By outsourcing further work?
No. In-house.
So bringing outsourced work back in-house?
In-house.
If that saves us money.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Kesich. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll second that.
Yeah. Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 15.7. Notice of motion 585. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The council officers present a report as soon as possible detailing existing patronage of the Taylors Hill Youth Centre and outline strategies to activate over the next 12 months, with the report to include and not be limited to the existing activation of the facility, including council and external based services, strategies to engage with young people in the eastern corridor of the municipality and increase patronage of the facility, including engagement with local schools. And three, the feasibility of a promotional campaign to promote access to the facility with the objective to increase patronage where possible. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor require any clarification? Councillor Carley, you want clarification?
Oh, no, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to second Councillor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Carley.
Thank you.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillors, questions without notice?
I've got one, thank you.
Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you. I hope I'm addressing it to Mr. Tory. Could a member of the executive please advise of the circumstances surrounding reports of a child escaping from the kindergarten and what actions have been taken to ensure this occurrence is not repeated? Further, what audits or inspections or have been undertaken on all council-owned kindergartens to ensure a similar incident cannot occur? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I might direct this question to Ms. Cremieri because the issue was within her directorate, so she's been involved more intimately in the follow-up.
Thank you. So in relation to the incident at the site of Botanica Springs, it is regulated program space in the kindergartens. Officers and the kindergarten providers conducted an audit of the facility. It was identified that the door between the licensed place had been left open and has recently got a sign put up indicating that the door is to be closed at all times. The handle has also been raised. Also, additional to that, the primary front exit door, there's a button that now must be pushed to activate the doors to exit to ensure safety for all children.
Thank you, Ms. Cremieri.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
Any further questions, councillors?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. And Mr. Mayor, with my question, I'm happy for the officer to take it away and then get back to me with an answer. I just have been asked, have the community garden group of Diggers Rest used their half of the green shed that was allocated to them when I think the Diggers Rest Lions Club had one half and the community garden going to have another? And if they haven't and it hasn't been used, could that other half be given to the Diggers Rest Lions Club so they would take the whole green shed for storage? Thank you. And I'm happy for an answer.
We will need to take it on notice.
No worries. Thank you.
Any further questions, councillors? Councillor Mabel.
Mr. Mayor, has any councillor of this council advised the CEO that they are running at the next state government elections at this point? And what is their obligation, if any, to the mayor or the CEO?
At this point in time, no, is the answer to the first part. I've had no notification of any councillor running. Council has a policy which applies that any councillor, and I think the detail of the policy is that any councillor who becomes a candidate should take leave of council until the date of the election. Technically, it's from their announcement of their candidature, which might be when they actually nominate or might be an earlier date. It is a council policy. It's not a legally enforceable position. It's a policy position.
Thank you.
So in the situation where that was to occur, and just say a councillor decided to continue, Mr. Mayor, and attend council whilst a candidate, are there options that we can explore under the councillor code of conduct?
Possibly. I haven't got the code of conduct in front of me. It'd be referring to what section. But under the Local Government Act, it's not a requirement to stand aside, and I am aware of councillors in various councils either standing aside or not standing aside. There is no uniformity.
The MAV has developed a policy that I saw, which is a guideline with our policy here.
Yeah, for best and practice. We've essentially adopted the guideline that,
And we are a best practice council.
That's what we would normally aspire to.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Mr. Tory.
Councillor Cassidy, did you have a question?
Mr. Mayor, it was not a question, it was just a rather answer to colleague. We'll inform you.
It's question time, it's not statement time.
I just wanted to say that we will inform you when we're planning, or if we're not planning, right on time.
You don't have to inform me.
It is a not, but I noticed that certain groups, they're very much interested, so I just wanted to,
add. Don't have to inform me, Councillor Kessler.
Thank you.
I'm not the mayor.
Does any other councillor have any other further questions? Question for Mr. Shannon. Mr. Shannon, can you advise us when we expect the roads from Holland Drive, Collins Street and Collins Drive to be open to alleviate the traffic in estate?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There is currently an industrial subdivision occurring loosely in behind the car yards off Holland Drive. The stage of subdivision is nearly complete, which will mean that road connection through from Norton Drive effectively will be open, I would expect, in the next couple of months, and that will provide far better road connectivity through to High Street.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Certainly alleviate the traffic in that area. Any motions without notice, councillors? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, my motion without notice is that council write to Daniel Andrews, Premier and Matthew Guy, opposition leader, requesting that in the lead up to the state election they detail for council their party's commitments on the key advocacy priorities listed in council's advocacy priorities booklet, as well as key issues of waste management and the landfill levy, a CPI cap on the fire services levy, the level of the state pension rate rebate, and distribution of the growth area infrastructure charge funds to projects in our growth growth areas.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you have that in writing?
Yes, I do. And I'll
That's start. Fine. Any further questions without notice, councillors? Motions without notice?
Was that a motion without notice?
Motion without notice.
How come he's gone back to questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Pardon?
Councillor Ramsey is doing a motion without notice, but you've asked for any questions without notice again.
Oh, did I?
Are we going back to questions?
I apologise.
I'm just checking.
I should have said to wait for motions without notice. Councillor Ramsey, please don't do that again.
What did I do?
No.
I asked questions without notice, and you said you gave me a motion.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
I think you're right, but I'm just correcting
myself. No, you introduced motions without notice, otherwise I wouldn't have stood up.
Oh, jeez, thank goodness for that.
But I
support... Councillors, any more motions without notice?
No.
Any urgent business?
Just that we have
Wow. I'd like to thank the gallery for being here this evening. Please help yourself to refreshments. as we go into confidential business.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a recommended procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated for items 19.1 and 19.2.
You got
Mr.
it right.
Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Councillor Ramsey, thank you. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any Councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Whatever that is, like a brief. You're lucky I'm not going to take it.